Hello and welcome to the 10th and Broad Church of Christ podcast. This episode is a Full Cup Cafe episode coming from our midweek service. So settle back for this week's teaching.
We will finish up tonight talking about the choice of a new generation. Joshua chapter 24. When I think about the Olympics from my childhood, the name that comes to my mind is Bruce Jenner. Bruce Jenner was one of the famous Olympians from back in the 70s. And a famous and very talented Olympic decathlete. And the story of how Bruce Jenner became a decathlete is kind of a surprising one. He tells the story that he had just finished his freshman year in college. And he wanted to quit. And what he wanted to do was go to Florida and join one of those ski shows. But his mom wanted him to come home and go to school there in Connecticut and live at home and finish school up there. But he found out that if he went and became part of the ski show, he would no longer be considered an amateur and he would not be able to compete in any kind of amateur athletic events. And so as he tells the story, he was literally driving away from the college that he was leaving. And if he turned left, he would go to Florida. If he turned right, he would go home to Connecticut. And he says that as he got in the left-hand lane, because that's where he pulled out of the college at, again, he'd go left home or he'd go right to Florida, there was someone in the right-hand lane, and he just decided it was too much trouble to slow down and get over, so he sped up and he went left and he went home and he went to the Olympics. Now, you would think that someone like that would have had a little more thought into this career, but that's the story he tells. That's how it ended up, that he did not go to the ski show, but he went on to the Olympics. And the reason I tell the story at the beginning of this lesson is that the choices that we make affect the rest of our life. Do I have an amen to that? Amen. Anybody have any experience with that? Some good choices, some not so good choices, but the choices we make affect the rest of our life.
I got married.
I paused just 1 second too long. Several things are going through my mind, but I'm refraining. The choices we make affect the rest of our lives. And you know, there's so many folks in our culture, and our culture breeds this mentality that I am a victim of my circumstances, or that I am a victim of my genes, or I'm a victim of my upbringing, or of my parents' dysfunctional home, or of That's the culture we live in. I'm a victim. I'm a victim of my circumstances. But the Bible does not teach that. The Bible teaches that you are responsible for the choices that you make. Some come out of harder situations than others, but everybody has something to deal with and struggle with, and the Bible says that you are responsible for the choices that you make. Few people confess that I made a bad choice and I am a sinner. We'd rather be a victim, but the Bible says that life is a matter of choice, and your circumstances and your genes are factors in all that, but it has been placed in us by our Creator, the ability to make a choice. And so part of this lesson tonight is based on the premise that choice and not chance determines your life. Choice. We are responsible for our choices. And that truth goes all the way back to the garden when God created the first man and the first woman. He put them in a perfect situation and He endowed them. He breathed life into them and took care of all of their needs, and He gave them free will, the ability to choose. And God really laid out two options for them. They could obey Him and have life, or they could disobey Him and have death. There were just two choices. And that choice is still the same for us. It's not always an easy choice, but neither is it a very complicated choice. One or the other. And Jesus recognized that fact in Matthew chapter 7. He said there are two roads. There's not 1,000 roads. There's not 10 roads. And not all roads lead to the same place. There are two roads, Jesus said. There is a wide road that leads to destruction, and there is a narrow road that leads to life. Paul, in Colossians chapter 1, said there are two kingdoms. There is a kingdom of darkness, and there is a kingdom of light. And there's not a third kingdom that you get to hang around in while you're trying to make the choice of being in the kingdom of darkness and the kingdom of light. You are in one or the other. And many of us are where we are because we try not to make a choice. But you have a choice. In John 8, Jesus said something that was not politically correct then, and it is not politically correct now. But Jesus, the Son of God, said, there are two. You can have two fathers. You can follow your father God, or you can follow your father the devil. And those are Jesus' words. People were aghast to hear him say that. How dare you say, I may not do everything right, but I certainly don't follow the devil. Jesus said, you're either a child of one or you're a child of the other. The choice is not easy, but a choice is not complicated. It's very clearly laid out in Scripture. God calls us to make a choice, but honestly, many of us, and I will put myself in this category too, at times I just would rather drift. I really don't want to make a choice. I would just rather drift. And that takes away, in some way it seems, takes away the responsibility. But you can't drift through life. Jesus preached for a decision. Choose. And Joshua did the same thing in chapter 24. Choose this day. Joshua was very old by this time. Caleb, if he's still alive, would be very old. Any of the leaders that would be Joshua's contemporaries have long since passed away. And it is time for a new generation of leaders to step forward. And Joshua calls all of these leaders together and says it's a time for a new generation to make a choice. Here is what he says in verse 14 of chapter 24. Now fear the Lord and serve Him with all faithfulness. Throw away the gods your forefathers worshipped beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. But if serving the Lord seems undesirable to you, then choose for yourselves this day whom you will serve, whether the gods of your forefathers beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. The words of Joshua. And really, this lesson is not very flashy or creative. This lesson is very simple and very straightforward, and that is that we all have to make a choice. There are some things we can learn about this choice, though. And one of those is that we have to choose personally. Every single person in this room has to choose. Your mama can't choose for you. Your daddy can't choose for you. Your husband, your wife, no one else can choose for you. You have to make your own choice. Faith can and should be passed on from one generation to the next. But in the end, faith cannot be inherited. Have you ever noticed in the language of Scripture, God does not have grandchildren? God only has sons or daughters. You have to choose. You have to make a personal choice. One of the reasons you have to make a personal choice is you're going to be judged personally. You're not going to be judged for your mama or your daddy or your husband or your wife or your brother and a sister. You're going to be judged for you. So you have to make the choice. And you will stand before God and you will give an account of the choices that you have made in life. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 10, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ that each one may receive what is due him for the things done while in the body, whether good or bad. So one question I have for you tonight that I hope you'll wrestle with and think about is, have you owned your own faith? Have you made the choice? Are you here out of guilt? Are you here because you're supposed to be? And there's a lot more to it than just being here. I certainly don't want to make that the summation of your faith. But have you made your own choice? Have you owned your faith? Not because your mama or your grandparents did it, because you choose to do it. And as I was thinking about this, that happened for me in college. Everybody has a different story to tell, and it may have happened at different times, but that happened for me in college. When I left to go to college, my granddad, he died my senior year. But before he died, we knew where I was going to go. And he told me, now when you get out there to Abilene, don't you go to that Highland Church of Christ. Well, I took that very seriously. And when I got to Abilene, I did not go to Highland Church of Christ. And I had friends who went there, and they'd say, hey, come and go with me tonight. Nope, can't go there. I took that very seriously. And we should take seriously the faith of our forefathers, our grandparents, our parents. I listened to that. But you know, and it really for me, it happened about my sophomore year. I look back and I begin to realize that I begin to make my own decisions. And I begin to make my own path. And I begin to choose for myself. And my faith became my own. And so some friends said, hey, come over and go to Highland. And I thought, well, I ought to go and at least see what it's like. So I went one time and it really wasn't all that big a deal. Interestingly enough, the reason he didn't like Highland was because they had been involved in Herald of Truth. This church was one of the very first churches, so he wouldn't like me to be here either. But I tell that story, it's kind of funny, but it's true. It was during that time that my faith became my own. I hope you've had a time like that, when you can look back and you can see, I made a choice. I'm going to follow God. Because I believe in Him. Because I love Him. I'm thankful for what I was taught and the way I was raised, but it's my own now. And I hope you have owned your faith. Joshua had. And the way we know he had, the choices he made. When Joshua came down the mountain with Moses and heard and saw the revelry of the Israelites who had abandoned God already and had built a golden calf, Joshua stood with Moses and he said, I will follow the Lord. And when the 12 spies went into the land and 10 came back and said, there is no way that we can go in there and take that land, Joshua stood and said, yes, we can. I will follow the Lord. Over and over in Joshua's life, Joshua chose God. His life was the sum of his choices. And you are going to have those situations in your life that God may bring or however that works, but they require you to make a choice. And the church can't choose for you, and your family can't choose for you. You will choose who you will serve in that situation, and you will choose personally. And just to finish that thought, Jesus says it so well in Luke 14, verse 27, when he said, anyone who does not carry his cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. Your cross. If you don't carry your cross, I can't carry it for you. And you can't carry mine for me. We all carry our own cross. And you know, another important point is that your cross, a cross, is not an accident. It's a choice. Jesus didn't go to the cross on accident. Nobody tricked him into it or forced him into it. He chose it before time. And you'll choose yours as well. So you choose personally. Another thing that we learn in this passage that's important about choosing is that you have to choose purposefully. And this goes back to that idea of drifting. You have to choose purposefully. Listen to what Joshua says here to these folks. He says, throw away the God your forefathers worshipped and serve the Lord. In other words, get rid of anything that is left that in any way distracts you from God. Get rid of anything that tempts you to serve it rather than God. Anything that you turn to when you should be turning to the Lord, get rid of it. And don't you find it amazing that Joshua is saying that to them in chapter 24? After all that they have seen God do, and all the stories they hear about what He did back in Egypt, and in the 40 years, and they witnessed Him stop the Jordan River and walked across on dry land, and they witnessed Him bring the walls of Jericho down into rubble. They witnessed the sun stand still. They witnessed all of those victories, and still, apparently, they have God's in their tents that their forefathers brought from Egypt. That amazes me that he would be able to still have to say that to them. Get rid of those gods that you brought from beyond the river. That's referring, actually, back to Abraham. Beyond the river is the Euphrates. When he says the gods your forefathers served beyond the river, those are gods that Abraham's family brought with them. And we know that from Genesis. And the gods of Egypt are the ones that their fathers brought from Egypt. And then there's the gods of the Amorites. They're surrounded by other gods that are demanding a choice. And Joshua's saying, yep, you got to make one. But get rid of those gods. And some of them have been around for generations. And choose this day whom you are going to serve. And I can be amazed at them, but I know that I'm not any different. And you're not any different than they are. After all that God has done for me, after all that God has done for you, and not just your salvation that He bought on the cross, but every single day, the blessings that our God pours out on us, daily we reap the benefits of Him being the creator of the earth and the sustainer of the earth. And there's not a one of us in this room who went hungry last year, and not a one of us who don't have a roof over our head. We have all of our needs supplied. And it's not because we're Americans, it's because God is God. And we even have toys to play with beyond our basic needs. And so we need to get rid of anything that is holding on to us or that we are holding on to. Anything that divides our allegiance. It's interesting to me that the very last words of the Apostle John in his letter that we call 1 John, he says, "Dear children, keep yourselves from idols." And those are among Joshua's last words. Don't let anything come between you and God. Get rid of it. And the problem with idolatry in our society, I think, isn't so much that we choose it, but that we drift into it. Just a story to kind of help make that point. There's a gentleman who, the way the story is told, he had a brand new airplane. He had learned to fly it. He was so proud of it. And he had friends in another state that he wanted to show it off to. And so that gave him a chance to get in the plane, and he was going to fly to where they were. But he got up in the air, and he put it on autopilot, and he fell asleep. And when he woke up a few hours later, he wondered what big lake he was over. Turns out he was over the Gulf of Mexico. And so he's running low on fuel, but he turns around, and he comes back in. He almost made it back to land. It said his plane crashed 70 miles from land. Now, he was able to call in and he was able to get help, but the plane, that brand new plane he was so proud of, was destroyed and gone. And he got there because he drifted there. He put it on autopilot. And it is so tempting for us just to put life on autopilot. We're so busy. We're running here and there. We're doing things for our kids. We're serving at church. We're going to our job. We're thinking about what we're going to have for supper. Whatever it is, life just takes over. And we just get on autopilot and we let other people and other situations just determine for us what we're going to go and where we're going to spend our money and where we're going to give our time. And we just live life on autopilot. And that is a dangerous, dangerous way to live. We must choose purposefully and deliberately a life of following God. Because if you don't choose, you will drift. There are two choices. And I will give an example of drift. Now, I did not see this, but I've read and heard about it. How many of you watched, or will admit that you watched, the final episode of Lost? Okay. Apparently, and I was told about this, and so I went online and I started reading, and this has been a big discussion. Apparently at the end of Lost, and I don't even understand the show, I never watched it, but at the end, they're in this, looks like a church, and there's a stained glass window. And in the stained glass window is an image or an emblem from just about every faith that is represented on the face of the earth. And the message, from what I can understand, was that there are many paths. And whichever one you choose will lead you to eternity and to God. Folks, if we don't choose purposely, if we don't choose deliberately, this old world that we live in will suck us in. And we will drift to destruction. And your children and my children are watching and listening. And they're taking all this in. And if you are not deliberately teaching them about the God of creation and His Son, Jesus Christ, then you need to start now. Don't leave it to Larry and don't leave it to the Bible class teachers. You do it. It's that important, and you do it deliberately, and you do it purposely, because they're hearing everything else everywhere they go. We must choose. Another thing we have to do is choose persistently. The Hebrew word here, there's really not a good English translation, because the Hebrew word clearly implied that I chose, I choose, and I will continue to choose. We say, choose this day, and we think, okay, here's one choice. But Joshua was saying, for your life, you have chosen, you choose, and you continue to choose who you will serve. It is a persistent, constant choice, because Joshua understands that decisions are not made just once. Decisions have to be renewed and reaffirmed over and over. And that's why Joshua says, choose this day whom you will serve. Because they had chosen God in the past. This entire group of folks who were in front of him, they've chosen God. They chose him when they decided to step on dry land in the Jordan. Or they chose him when they decided to march around those walls 7 times. Or they chose him any number of times. But Joshua is saying, you choose today, because you still got guys in your tent you got to get rid of. And so you choose today who you will serve. Have you ever noticed in Scripture that God is very, very interested in today? Jesus said, give us this day our daily bread. That's what God teaches you to ask for. Not bread for tomorrow or next week. God wants you to trust Him today for what you need. David in the Psalms said, today if you hear His voice. Today. Jesus said, give us this day. I've already said that one. Paul said, I die every day. His famous, more famous words are, I've been crucified with Christ. But in this place, he says, I choose that every day. I die every single day to myself. God is concerned about today. Yesterday was yesterday. Tomorrow is tomorrow. But God wants you to choose today. And again, Jesus, when it comes to this idea of discipleship, in Luke chapter 9, verse 23, talking about that cross again, says it is a daily decision. He says, if anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. Don't wait till Sunday to do it. Don't wait till Wednesday night to do it. Every single morning when you get out of bed, choose that day whom you will serve. And the last thing I want to talk about here is that the choice needs to be public. God doesn't have secret societies. The choice needs to be public. Joshua stood up before the entire nation and publicly declared that as for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. Christians need to have a voice that is heard, and they need to not be afraid to voice their choice. And I think that's one reason baptism is so important. Now, it is not the whole reason, because I'm not teaching that it's just a public thing of an inward thing. I believe there's much more to baptism than that. But I do think that one of the significant things about baptism is it is a public decision that you are making. And it is something that everyone sees and knows that you are doing. You're making a public decision. And I think about Peter. When the men and women in Jerusalem asked Peter, what should we do to be saved? Peter said, repent and be baptized. But then Peter goes on to say something that I think really connects back to Joshua. He says, Acts says, with many other words he warned them and he pleaded with them, save yourselves from this corrupt generation. In other words, Peter is calling the people of his day, just like Joshua called the people of his day, to make the choice of a new generation. Choose this day whom you will serve. And so I'm going to ask you that tonight. Have you made a choice? Have you made a decision? Do you know who you will serve? And many of you made that decision and that choice many, many years ago. Make it again today. Some of you may have never made that choice. Make it today. Choose today who you will serve. later in Joshua chapter 24, verse 23. "Now then," said Joshua, "throw away the foreign gods that are among you and yield your hearts to the Lord, the God of Israel." And the people said to Joshua, "We will serve the Lord and God, our God, and obey Him." And on that day, Joshua made a covenant for the people, and there at Shechem, he drew up for them decrees and laws. And Joshua recorded these things in the book of the law of God. And then he took a large stone and he set it up there under the oak near the place of the Lord. And I want to plant a seed in your mind, and you may think, that is the silliest thing I have ever heard. I'm not going to do that. But I want to challenge you with your family to set up a stone. What would it be like if in your front yard you and your family made a covenant and you said, for some of you as the father of the house, as spiritual leaders, you stand up and you say, "As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord." And you put a stone in your yard, and every single time you drove up in that driveway and you saw that stone, maybe your kids saw that stone, maybe your grandkids saw that stone, you'd remember. Think about how many times Joshua has done that in this book. How many times has this nation set up reminders and memorials to remember those significant events in their faith and in their life? So I challenge you to set up a stone and a memorial and a reminder that as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. As we finish in here tonight, I want to ask you to publicly choose. And I want to do what Joshua did. And I don't want you to do it if you don't mean it. But if you do mean it, I hope you'll join me. And I want to start with our elders and our deacons. And I want to ask them to stand and repeat the words that the people repeated when they said, "We will serve the Lord and obey Him." And so if our elders and deacons are willing, would you stand and would you repeat after me, "We will serve the Lord and obey Him." How about any small group leaders, Bible class teachers?
"We will serve the Lord and obey Him."
"We will serve the Lord and obey Him."
How about fathers? Would you stand and say, "We will serve the Lord and obey Him"?
"We will serve the Lord and obey Him."
Mothers? What about single Christians? Would you stand and say, "You will serve the Lord and obey Him"? If there's anybody else that I haven't got in a category, let's all say it together. "We will serve the Lord and obey Him." God bless you. Let's pray. Father, we stand before You tonight as Your people. And we are so grateful for all that You have done for us. Daily, all the things that You do for us. And we acknowledge Your gifts and Your blessings. Clothes that are on our back, the food that's on our table, the cars we drive, the homes we live in, the vacations we take. So many things that You give us every day that we take for granted. And we take a moment just to say thank You, Lord, for daily bread. And Lord, we thank You for Jesus. We thank You that before the creation of the world, You made the choice and He made the choice that He would give His life for us, and that He followed through with that. He defeated the enemy. He disarmed him, and He made him a laughingstock by His death on the cross and His resurrection from the dead and His ascension to the right hand of the throne of God. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You that You daily forgive us. It wasn't just that one-time event. Thank You that You daily show us grace and mercy and forgiveness, and You purify us with Your blood. Thank You for this church. I personally thank You for the impact the tremendous influence this church has had on my family and on my sons. Thank you for the leadership that we have here and that we have had here. And I pray as we go through this process in faith for the leadership we're going to continue to have here. Thank you for this church. I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. You can remain standing because there's just one more thought. What do you do after you make that kind of declaration? In verse 28 of chapter 24, Joshua sent the people away. And I love this phrase based on all we've learned. He sent them away, each to his own inheritance. And so I commission you to go and take more land and claim every blessing, claim your inheritance in the Lord, and live life to the fullest. We're dismissed.